What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, and this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. We also host the Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs Wednesday every week during the season. So make sure to check in with that to see us do a live show. It goes about an hour to an hour and a half. But on today's show, guys, we're going to keep talking about the 2019 NFL draft. The last time we did kind of a brief recap of the draft. And on today's show, we're going to be doing some draft grades from the draft. We're going to do some draft grades for this class. So we'll start with that. I'll tell you that ESPN had it as a C+. So I feel like that gives you a little something to work with there. I disagree. In the second segment, we're going to get into our favorite picks from this draft and our least favorite picks from this draft. And then we're going to wrap things up at the end of the show talking about what the Chargers' biggest needs are now that the draft is over with. You saw the positions they chose to address. And now that still leaves some pretty big holes on this roster, even though it is a very talented roster. But let's go ahead and get into our draft grades. ESPN gave the Chargers a C+ in the draft. They really didn't like the Jerry Tillery pick. They had him as their 56th best prospect, and the Chargers obviously took him 28, and then didn't like the Trey Pipkins pick. Well, I mean, jump on the bandwagon for that one. I don't know anyone that was super excited. Still to this day, I don't think I've seen anyone get excited about that pick, except for, you know, Tom Telesco. But let's go ahead and get into what our draft grades are this year. It's a very up and down draft. There was a lot of picks that I liked a lot, and then some other picks I didn't like so much. So, John, I'll start with you for this one. What would you give this Chargers draft class as a whole for a grade?
It would be somewhere between a C+ and a B-. I really want to go more towards the B- side just because of how much value they got from Nazir Adderley in the second round, and that they got some really good value at the seventh pick as well with the with defensive tackles that you scouted. You scouted and we got him. I cannot believe we got him. So I would have to go with B-, but the rounds 3 through 6 really make me want to go C+ on this because Trey Pipkins was such a reach, and I don't think Tranquil is going to be anything great except for maybe a depth piece. So I'd have to go B-.
Yeah, I think if we were going individual grades, you'd see some very high individual grades and you'd see some very low individual grades as far as these players go. Because I think, John, if you're talking about Nazir Adderley, if you were giving that a letter grade, you would give it an A. But what grade would you give Trey Pipkins in the third?
Probably a D+ area. I mean, he's got size, athleticism, but I'm not going to say he's completely a bad player to pick up. But where you picked him is what really bothers me, because you probably could have got more value and still got your guy in a later round. And I feel like you reached for him, and that really, really bothers me because he's still also a guy that you were going to have to make into a project, really. He's not ready to start yet. You needed a guy that was ready to start now. Even if there wasn't that many of those guys, there's probably one that was more ready to start than this guy is.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure we'll be getting into him in the next segment where we talk about our favorite and least favorite picks. But I think I understand that. I think mine's going to be pretty close to that grade. I see what you're saying there as far as you're somewhere in between a C+ and a B-, because it's a very hard thing to grade. And I mean, let's be honest. These guys haven't played yet. All draft grades are hard, but when we're talking about draft grades, you're talking about the players that we like a lot, or each one of us specifically likes a lot, and what the value was of the pick. I mean, I think that with Trey Pipkins, it's the value plus him, you know, just having major question marks as a player. But David, you, the 2019 draft class is in the books. What is your initial letter grade for this draft class?
So, I mean, honestly, I look at this draft class and I say, okay, first two picks, home runs, in my opinion. Jerry Tillery out of Notre Dame was a guy that I actually, you know, when we scouted him, I was pretty high on him, and I would have been okay with him picking him up. I like the pass rush ability. I love, you know, the size. I think, you know, he's not a finished product, but at 28, I think it's a good value. And then, you know, you get another first round talent, in my opinion, in the second round, and Nazir Adderley. So two really great picks. And then you get the third round and you're like, what the hell happened here? I don't get it. Big reach for Trey Pipkins. And especially because they see him as a left tackle. I mean, he's not even, you know, going to be at a position that the Chargers are, you know, at a deficiency right now. So I don't know. And the other picks I kind of liked. I mean, Cordell's Broughton in the seventh round is a great value for me. And I think Egbule is going to be a good player as well. So for me, I think overall grade, initial grade for me, I'm going to go B minus as well. I think that's the sweet spot for this one.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I think, I mean, we're all going to be kind of around the same thing. I mean, I wish I'd come out here and tell you that ESPN was dead ass wrong and that this is an A draft grade, but I just don't see it right now. I think they got a lot of good players in this draft. And the reason that we say that this is the initial draft grade is because we will use this as kind of a barometer as these players go forward. And next season, around this time, or when the season's over, I should say, we'll go back and reevaluate this draft class and kind of regrade it when we actually get to see these guys on the film. But hey, everyone loves some draft grades, so we're here giving it to you. I'm going to go ahead with mine and say that mine is a solid B. I think it's a solid B because I think that you got two guys in the first two rounds that are no doubt about it starters. And the guys that I could see being above average level starters. So right away, you got two improvements. You got an improvement on your defensive line, a guy that can more than likely, if everything goes well with his injury and his rehabilitation, should be a starting three technique defensive lineman on the first day of the season and be much better and give you much better pass rush inside than you have before. And then talk about a guy with Nazir Adderley, who basically slots in as your free safety off the bat, no injuries, nothing like that to be concerned of, just kind of getting up to speed in the NFL after coming from the FCS. So yes, that is a concern. It might take him a little bit to get acclimated with the NFL, but it's exciting to have a talent like that, even knowing, hey, you're going to have, you know, some rookie learning curves and you might not necessarily see the best of him right away. But with a guy like that, that's that talented, you're willing to take the mistakes that he gives you because you know that down the line it's all going to pay off. And then in my mind, they got two future starters more than likely, with Cortez Broughton, I think, will start, and Emeka Egbule in the sixth round. I think those guys both have potentials to be starters down the road. I really like those picks. And then it leaves you with the middle three. I thought they reached for Pipkins. I thought that they reached for Easton Stick even. I mean, Easton Stick I thought was going to be a sixth or seventh round pick. And for a guy like that who's not going to immediately come in and, you know, that isn't immediately going to be the backup and possibly going to play next year. And a guy, I mean, we could never actually see on the field as a Chargers quarterback. I thought that they reached for him a little bit. I didn't think the need at quarterback was that great, especially if you're going to go to the second tier of quarterback. So John, I think, you know, two starters right away, two opportunities of down the road starters, and then three big question marks. There's going to be question marks in every draft class, and there still is with the Chargers. And the guys I like might not even turn out to be good, but that's the way I evaluate it. So I think a solid B, getting two starters, two future starters, is about right for me.
Yeah, I can see where you go with that. And I feel we also were trying to go for special teams maybe as well. Like Drew Tranquil could maybe be that special teams guy that Kyle Emanuel was. He can also maybe be the depth at linebacker. So maybe they were going there with him. So I can see why that could maybe elevate the grade up to a B on your side. And with Easton Stick, I mean, yeah, he probably was a reach. But at the same time, I feel like it was probably someone they wanted to hurry up and get before somebody else was going to take a risk on a random quarterback at some point. And they felt that the two guys they got after him were maybe the guys that were going to still be there at round six and round seven. So they probably had to go Easton Stick fifth to get, I don't know how to say his name. I was going to call him Emeka and Cortez. So I don't agree that it's a big reach, but I can see why you say it's a reach.
I mean, all reaches are based on where people believe that they're going to go. So, I mean, even in your mock draft, John, you had Easton Stick as your seventh round pick to the Chargers.
And I also had a bunch of guys ahead of him that I thought we should have picked that we never even went for, like Amani Hooker and even little Jordan Humphrey. So I feel the Chargers were trying to go after guys like Cortez Broughton, who you like, and they saw, hey, he's going to be there in the seven. And they also like the Meke, who's going to be there in the six. And if you were to try to take one of those two guys in the fifth and risk Easton Stick getting picked up in the sixth or seventh, you know, it would have been out of their plan. So that's why I feel like they went with him at fifth. But I can see why you would also say he's a reach, though, because as you said, I have him in the seventh round.
Right, and then, yes, you don't get to get those guys if you take Easton Stick in the seventh round. I just think, especially with some of the deep receivers in this class, I think you could have gotten somebody possibly in the fifth that could have helped you out now. But, hey, guys, it's just upsetting because it's like, hey, you see Tom Telesco make a fifth-round pick, and you're like, wait a second, what's going on here? This guy's going to be a starter four games into the season. I mean, that's just what, like, fifth-round picks have been able to do at certain points for the Chargers, whether it's Jatavis Brown or Desmond King. So a fifth round is something you look forward to. So a guy that's not going to see the field for a long time, maybe even ever, is a little upsetting with the fifth round pick. And knowing,
could that mean he's maybe the future QB because we have struck gold on fifth round picks?
I mean, it makes me feel like he could be. I mean, I think if they took him there, they actually believe that, hey, even though this is a later round guy, he actually has the potential to be an NFL quarterback down the road. So we will obviously see it, but that one's definitely the long-term plan, not the short-term plan. And, hey, we're all about maximizing Phillip Rivers' small Super Bowl window. That's our thing. That's always been our thing. So I'm definitely sticking with that. But I think that leads us nicely into our favorite picks from this class and our least favorite picks from this class. And my favorite pick for trying to hire employees is ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses look to connect qualified candidates to qualified jobs. That place is ZipRecruiter.com. Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resume, but now ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, they will match the employee with your job, the best fitting one. They are just the best at it. They scan thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site on just the first day. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's going to be ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. You're going to want to get ZipRecruiter right now, guys. No one wants these, you know, bum employees coming in for their job interviews and really wishing they would have never came in for it. And you can stop all that with ZipRecruiter. It is the smartest way to hire. All right, guys, now it's time to keep in with the NFL draft and talk about our favorite picks. I think we all have different ones we could go with and probably maybe even all have the same one. But I won't go first because there's a couple different ways I could go with this one. David, I started with John last segment, so I'll start with you this segment. Who was your favorite pick from the 2019 NFL draft?
So, I mean, I think it might be a little cliche, but I honestly love the first round pick. I mean, Jerry Tillery is a guy that I, you know, really like the skill set, like the size, like the pass rush ability. And, you know, he was a guy that from when I watched his tape that I was pretty high on. So I was excited when they got him. I think it was a need. I think they filled a need with a good player. And, you know, when you're in those first couple of rounds, that's exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would be higher on the Jerry Tillery pick if there wasn't other guys on the board that I would have taken ahead of him. But that being said, I mean, Jerry Tillery was my guy from the get-go of the draft process. I really liked what I saw from him. He did have a rough stretch towards the end of the season, but there's just a few games where you absolutely just see something in him that you don't see from a lot of players. So I think that kind of makes him unique. His size, his length, his get off, his ability to shed blockers and get in the backfield and attack quarterbacks is just unlike many other players in this class. So yes, it would have been nice to get, you know, your starting right tackle for the future, but I still absolutely loved the Jerry Tillery pick. John, who is your favorite pick from this draft?
It's obviously Easton Stick because I predicted it, which made me look smart.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. But I'd have to go Nazir Adderley just because of where we got him. If we'd got him in the first round, it wouldn't be my favorite pick. But since we got him in the second round, I feel like it was kind of like getting Derwin James in the first. But we got Nazir Adderley in the second. I feel like it's that same kind of value in a way. So I love where we got him. I feel like he's going to be a big boost to the defense with his athleticism and his speed. And the fact that we got him in the second round just makes it even more better because now we got someone to help on the D-line that we needed, and we got a star safety to help us all within the first two rounds. If we had gotten Adderley in the first, who knows what would have happened in the second.
Yeah, exactly, and I really love that pick, and I probably would have went with Nazir Adderley just because, I mean, at the beginning of the draft process, I would have been okay with them taking him in the first round just from what I saw. He wasn't my first selection, but I could have justified taking him in the first round to see some of the other safeties that went off the board instead of him. I mean, even a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson went after him, and a lot of people thought he was a first-round pick. So it was a weird year for safeties getting drafted, but I absolutely love Nazir Adderley. I mean, if you just look up his highlight reel if you want to get excited, some of the catches he makes on there are just absolutely phenomenal. One-handed catches, great ball skills, always in the right place at the right time, can lay the wood, has big hits, so he brings that profile as well. Is a guy that's really exciting to watch. I absolutely loved the Nazir Adderley pick, and I probably would have went with that, but since you already picked it, I will go somewhere else, and I will say Cortez Broughton.
I knew it. I should have went to Vegas with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I would have went Adderley, though, had I gone first, but we all know this is my guy that I saw, and I was kind of like you wanted Easton Stick in the seventh. I kind of wanted Cortez Broughton in the fifth. That's the kind of potential that I saw from him. I mean, it was floored that he was still available in the late rounds. I think that such a heavy top-end defensive tackle class. I mean, you saw a guy like Gerald Willis, who had one of the best years productivity-wise of any interior defensive lineman, went undrafted. So I think this was a year where a lot of teams went early on defensive tackles, and a couple really good ones fell through the gaps. And that's what I think about Cortez Broughton, John. I mean, just a guy that, I mean, had a great season of his own, 7.5 sacks, 18.5 tackles for loss. He defended 10 passes in his career, so he always gets his hands up if he's not getting to the quarterback, and also had an interception. I didn't see that on tape, but I wish I would have seen him with the ball in his hands in the open field. But guy has an incredible first step, definitely a twitchy athlete who has the burst to really knock offensive linemen off their set and really just take the attack to them, which is something I like. And I mean, hey, to get a guy who I think will absolutely get playing time this year in the seventh round, and a guy that could potentially be a starter down the road, John, I just think it was a home run pick.
The weird thing is if you had gone first and picked Adderley, I was going to pick Broughton. I love this pick. In my opinion, this is my second favorite pick, believe it or not, in this whole draft. And it's what you said. This guy's first step is amazing. This guy can get through the hole. He's fast off the ball. And I think he's probably going to be our future three technique guy in this defense. And with the fact that we got him in the seventh round makes it like a big value pick. I think it's a steal. Personally, I think that's a big steal to get him in the seventh round. It's kind of like the Patriots getting Tom Brady in the sixth and what he developed into. Not saying that Cortez Broughton is going to be, you know, the greatest defensive tackle ever. But I feel like we got that kind of robbery, basically.
All right. And well, I'll just put it out here like this. Is anyone's least favorite pick not Trey Pipkins?
Nope, that's fine.
David?
Nope. That's definitely the worst pick. It is crystal clear.
And I wouldn't say it's the worst pick because of talent. I'd say it's the worst pick because of where we got him. If we had got him fourth round, I would have been a little bit higher up on the pick.
Yeah, I think I agree with that because I watched the East-West Shrine game. I watched the moments that Tom Telesco must have fallen in love with him because, I mean, that's really the only way that you could justify it. And even in that game, he had some ups and downs, let a guy get inside him, got beat to the corner for a pressure on one play, but the quarterback got rid of it. If it was a sack where he got lit up, I think it would look a lot worse for Trey Pipkins. It ends up getting thrown away. But it was due to his lack of being able to stop the guy on the edge. And yes, we'll reiterate it again. It's not about the talent. It's not about what this guy could be. I mean, some people wondered whether or not this guy would get drafted and you took him in the third round. And especially when you look at the Chargers' first picks, I mean, Jerry Tillery, if you know a site like Pro Football Focus, I had him as, like, I think the seventh best player in the draft and things like that. Like, you could argue that was a really good value in the first round, even though some people had him going in the second. Nazir Adderley, you know, is value in the second. And that's the thing about Trey Pipkins, especially, you know, if they're saying they want to develop him into a left tackle. First of all, it scares me about what they think of Sam Tevy. And second of all, it just wasn't a good value. I mean, you could have had him in the fifth round reasonably. I don't think that's out of the question for a fifth or sixth rounder. So you could have gotten a guy, John, that could be an immediate impact player this year. There was a lot of good wide receivers and other players on the board that they could have taken.
Yeah, I agree. You could have found yourself a weapon or even maybe another defensive player that could have been more promising than some of the guys we got. But you went with a project that was not even predicted to go in the third round. I mean, this guy is 6'6", 309 pounds, pretty athletic. And as you said, the East-West Shrine game, he did pretty good. I saw the same game. But this, if you watch it even the other game, this guy's got hands that are, like, really wide. Instead of being on the shoulder, on the chest pad, his hands are out on the shoulder pad. All I got to do is slap your hand down, and I'm getting past you if I'm Von Miller. So the fact that he has to be a project, and you got him in the third round when you're trying to win now, is really, really bothers me. If you would have gotten fifth round, sixth round, or even fourth round, even if it was a fourth round pick, I wouldn't even be this upset about it. But you got him in the third round, and we know what the third round picks have been like. So, I mean, it's just adding, like, salt to the wound, basically.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just the Chargers' history of third round picks definitely doesn't help them in this scenario. So I think that absolutely plays a factor in it. But let's go ahead and get into the next segment, which is assessing our needs post-draft and talk about the positions that the Chargers failed to address and whether we think there's guys on the roster that could take those spots and run with them, coming up in the next segment. All right, guys. Well, now that the draft is in the books, let's talk about some big needs that the Chargers still have and big holes in this roster. So, obviously, going into the draft, you had a huge need at free safety. You had maybe a bigger need at defensive tackle. Both of those got addressed, but you thought the Chargers might add another receiver. There's still guard questions that you could reasonably say, hey, we need a guard right now, even with Forrest Lamp, you know, coming back and probably being a starter this year. I mean, Dan Feeney is still there somewhere, so that's definitely a need. But, John, what do you think the Chargers' biggest needs are after the draft?
I have to say it's either wide receiver or guard, and if I have to pick one, I'm going to probably go with guard just because of Dan Feeney. I feel like even if we have some mediocre wide receivers, like even if it's Dylan Cantrell and Jeremy Davis with Travis Benjamin as your 3, 4, 5 guys, I feel like Philip Rivers can still do something with them. He's proved it before that he could do things with guys like Patrick Creighton, say Ejiro Tutu, even Randy McMichael he was doing stuff with. Like, he's shown that he can do stuff with players, but you have to give him time. So if we were to get a guard to replace Dan Feeney, have Forrest Lamp as the other guard, Mike Pouncey at center, and whoever we get at right tackle, I don't know who's going to be that starting right tackle, but if someone ends up becoming an upgrade, even if Sam Tevy is better than he was last year, or if Trey Pipkins somehow, some way proves us all wrong and is freaking amazing in training camp and is the starter, if they go with Russell Okun on the other side, I feel like we could have a clean pocket and Rivers could do stuff all day, even with some mediocre receivers.
Yeah, and you've seen him do that before. And the difference between those years and these years is, hey, now he actually has two dominant wide receivers to rely on. You can fill in that third spot. And I think with receiver, David, you see guys that could potentially take the next step and get decent amount of playing times. No, you do not want that to be Travis Benjamin, even though, yes, he plays a role. But you have guys with, like, Artavis Scott and Dylan Cantrell that could actually, you know, possibly come in and be impact players for the Chargers in limited roles.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, honestly, your biggest issue is right tackle for me. I think, you know, you have to give Philip Rivers as much time as possible to allow him to dissect the defense. If you do that, he's proven to be extremely talented and very, very, very good. So I think that's the biggest issue. I think I think Forrest Lamp is going to earn a position in the starting line. I think he's probably going to win that guard role at least. I think they might bring him out to right tackle as well. I mean, he's shown he has that versatility, but I just think that that needs to be the biggest area of upgrade, and they haven't answered that question or filled that hole yet.
Yeah, and I'm excited for Forrest Lamp to have really his first full healthy offseason. I think that's really exciting. He really hasn't had this time in the offseason to really acclimate himself with the playbook and really make an impact in the coach's eyes to get on the field. And this is a second round pick and a guy who had a lot of potential and a lot of people thought was the best offensive lineman in his class. And the Chargers got him with their second round pick. So I definitely want to see where Forrest Lamp is going to end up. But that's the big thing with me, John, with right tackle. It just sucks because, like you said, I mean, who knows if the Chargers even have room right now with the guys they have on their roster to bring somebody in. You'd probably have to cut someone. And yes, there are many guys on there that you'd be fine with them cutting. But the Chargers seem okay with Sam Tevy right now, which is a little scary. But a lot of people have the Chargers taking a cornerback in the first round, John. It just seems like the Chargers were much more on our page about their need at cornerback, because so many people wanted the Chargers to take a cornerback. And I think really they're not thinking about what Michael Davis and Trevor Williams have been at their best.
Yeah, it was puzzling to me when I saw things like Rock Ya-Sin as the first round pick, or even some people had us taking David Long in the third or second round. I'm like, why do we need a corner that early? We still have Casey Hayward, Desmond King, Trevor Williams, Michael Davis. I mean, we have corners. We don't need them. We need safety at that point. So I don't know why they had a corner in there. It was bugging me. I'm glad they did not take a corner. If they would have took a corner, I would have really started questioning Tom Telesco. I'm already questioning him getting value at the position we need, because he got Trey Pipkins at a position we need. But if he would have got a position we don't need, like a corner, there would have been some real problems here. But I can see with right tackle, you got a guy that has potential and you have a guy that you already know what he can do, but the coach loves him. And Forrest Lamp can, as David said, can maybe move over there. But then at that point, you still need to figure out who your guards are going to be. I mean, do you want Michael Schofield and Dan Feeney the rest of the year?
I definitely do not. I mean, I would rather have even Michael Schofield and Forrest Lamp. I think that could be okay. I think you could get away with that. But to see what the Chargers offensive line was last year, and then to, at this point of the season, not have added any talent really to that position. Yes, I think Trey Pipkins is talented. I mean, he just has things that you can't teach, you know, so you're just hoping that your offensive line coach can refine his skills and make him into something, because his athleticism and his size and his length are all things you can't teach. But you didn't add a guy that can come in and play right away, and I don't think anyone's arguing that he can. So to see the Chargers at this point in their offseason not adding talent to the offensive line is a little scary, David. I mean, it's just at this point you should have at least one legitimate upgrade outside of Forrest Lamp on this roster at offensive line with the struggles you saw, especially towards the end of last season.
The Chargers cannot be at their best with the offensive line in its current construction. There are obvious deficiencies at guard and tackle that need to be addressed, maybe with internal options or guys that they need to bring in, but I don't believe that they adequately answered those questions with the draft.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, and I think that has to be a concern, because, I mean, even though Phillip Rivers looked a little bit more mobile last season than we've seen him in a while, he's not a guy that's going to escape out of the pocket and make plays happen out there. So definitely a big concern, and offensive line, to me, at this point, to have that be the biggest need still, or one of the biggest needs, is a little bit hard to swallow. I wish Tom Telesco would put more of a priority on it, because Russell Okung is good. Mike Pouncey was only pretty good to okay last season. So it's not as if you have, you know, guys that are just future Hall of Famers out there surrounded by mediocre talent. I mean, there's not a single guy on there right now that I would say is in the top five at his position. So it's really hard to have a good offense like this and really hinder it every season with a struggling offensive line. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. But really excited to tell you guys that Jack Nolan, the network program director and voice of Notre Dame sports, is going to come on with us to talk about the Chargers' first-round pick, Jerry Tillery, and fourth-round pick, Drew Tranquil. So definitely excited. Make sure you tune back in tomorrow for that. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and subscribe to us on Himalaya, iTunes, Apple Music. Tune in wherever you get your podcast from so you can get the latest episodes and leave us a review on there and a 5-star rating. We would really appreciate it. And also, if you want to tell us your thoughts about the draft and the draft fallout, make sure to call the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924 so you can get your voice on the show. We love playing those for you guys and talking about it, so make sure to hit up the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. But we will talk to you guys tomorrow with Jack Nolan from Notre Dame. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.